It's been a busy month. We had had a garage sale just a matter of a few weeks ago, and then last Monday we began at 11 o'clock serving meals, and we served 5,600 meals in a week. I think that's pretty cool. By Friday at noon or so, we had broke the 5,000 mark. Started out the first day with 630. The second day we did 1,033. The third day we did 1,200. Then we did 1,400. And then we went someplace around 1,600. It's just an amazing, amazing time. We had four churches that were involved, definitely involved, signed up, came. But we had people from other churches popping in, hanging out. Hey, can we help? Can we help? Can we help? So I know that we had at least, well, we had somebody drive from 170 miles away just to see if they could flip burgers and stand with us. We had one guy who came to drop some people off, and while he's standing there kind of dancing around, I told the guys that he dropped off, I said, well, go on inside and get shirts. If you're going to work for a Christian fellowship, man, you got to be flying your colors. Go and get a CF t-shirt. And so they all came in to get CF t-shirts, and he's standing there, and the next thing you know, he's gone. And he came back and had a CFC t-shirt on, and then he was out there and flipped burgers for, I don't know, 5 hours the first day, 3 hours the next day. Between all the churches that were here, we had someplace between 175 and 200 people working to put this together. If you were part of it at any level, from planning to flipping burgers to serving pop, please stand up. Please stand up. You hauled a tent. If you moved a table, look around. Look around. Scott, you're sitting, man. You got to be standing up. I'm telling you. Wendy, stand on up. There you go. That's what it takes, folks. That's what it takes. We had our ladies group started things off, then our men's group, the youth group, Harvest Church, Pinewood Chapel, Lakes Region Mennonite, Christian Fellowship Church, people from the community. We had over 6,000 desserts that were made for this. Kathy and Corey Puttbreeze piped more cupcakes than you can ever imagine. How many was it? A mere 1,600 handmade cupcakes for this event. Chris and Jeff did over 500 cupcakes for this. People came in the last day, we ran out. We thought we didn't have enough desserts, and so we put out a call, and I come walking in on Friday morning and to greeting of 350 cupcakes right in front of me that were just done for us that day. I don't know if it makes you cry, but it kind of makes me cry. We started out the week with 5,000 burgers, 2,500 brats, 2,000 hot dogs, and 80 gallons of beans, which I personally thought was crazy. However, we served about 4,000 of those burgers. I think this morning we had two boxes of brats left, which would be about 130 brats, and four or five boxes of hot dogs, which is just a couple hundred hot dogs. And we ended up serving over 114 gallons of baked beans. Some guy told me the other day, he said, there's a little haze in the air. I said, I'm sorry, I think we contributed to that. So 114 gallons, you'd think 114 gallons. No, think of two 55-gallon drums sitting on stage and an extra 4 gallons on top of that. That's what was served in baked beans. Everybody started calling Lloyd Beano, and I'm not sure whether that was because he was making the beans or because he invested in it while we were doing this. We were averaging 12 to 1,400 a day by the time we were done, and what would happen is we started at 11 o'clock, so just about 10, well, on the last day, by 10:30, we had people come rolling in the driveway, which we hadn't had until then, but they started firing up the grills really about 10:30, quarter to 11, and to get all the roasters full. And people were standing there, they're thinking, boy, I'm not sure, there's a lot of people around here, there's nothing to do, I wonder if I should be here, I wonder if I should go, boy, the grass probably needs mowing. And then 11:45 hit. And you didn't sit down until after about 1:30 because it was just a steady stream of people coming in. You didn't really see it in the pictures, but there were times when we'd have to have two people out in the parking lot parking cars because there was no way to fit all the cars that were coming in. And we got to meet and greet people and talk with everybody. We actually got to serve. One group came in, and This is a guy, very tall guy. And he had 22 kids that were on a missions trip from Nebraska. And they were going up to the reservation, and they were doing VBS. And so they came in, and I said, well, how did you find us? And he said, well, yesterday, he said, we went to Taco John's, and we got done at Taco John's. The kids still weren't full, so we went to the Holiday gas station right next door, and he said, well, I'm filling with gas. All the kids are going in to get stuff to get filled up. And he said, when I went in to pay, he said, the guy's like, how do you got all these kids? What is going on? He said, well, we just left Taco John's. We're going to do a mission trip. He said, forget Taco John's, man. Go to the church up around the corner. They'll fill you up. And so the guy asked me, Pastor, he said, every time we get to take these guys into a restaurant, he said, it's $300. Can I leave you a contribution? And I said, you know what? That Nebraska money just doesn't work here. And so we got to bless those kids. Here's what I want you to understand about that. What I want you to understand is that as the Bible says that some plant, some water, and some get to sow. So we were planting seeds, and then they were taken, and there was water that was added to it because they were going up to White Earth, and there was going to be some sowing that was going on. And so you were part of that. You were part of that. That gets added to our account. Not that we're looking for that, but that gets added. We were part of that blessing. Raymond and Jeff and Gerald made it possible for me to not only greet people in the parking lot, but to be able to sit down and have conversations with people. I can't tell you how many people ask, what's the story? Why are you doing this? How's this going on? How come our church isn't involved? I don't, can't answer that one. But we had the opportunity. And so I just want to say a special thanks to those three guys who helped. That Shelly's been phenomenal with keeping us books. Chris has been all over the food stuff, just taking care of it. Again, I can't say all the people and all the things. We're actually going to write it all out so that we've got it done. But there's not a person. And I got another one for you. So again, we started with 80 cans of beans. It's not going to seem like it's a very touching story, but it's a very touching story to me. We started out with 80 cans of beans, and about the third day, Lloyd's like, you know, we're going to be out by tomorrow midday. And I'm like, there's no way. You lost beans, man. Somewhere you lost beans. And we ran out of relish about day three, and that seemed impossible to go through 3 gallons of relish in 3 days. But the leadership of this church didn't even question when I said, hey, we got to go and spend another $300 on beans, or we got to spend another $400 on pop so that we can continue to bless this community. Not one time did I have somebody from leadership come up and say, well, you're spending too much money, or you're spending, you got great leadership here, folks. Our elders did a great job. You're not going to find a whole lot of that, but we have had a great week. We also had, besides all of that, so there's just the fun, the camaraderie, a couple of pastors, Pastor Jesse in particular, out at Lakes Region Mennonite, came in the morning, and like I said, their people were pacing, wondering what they were going to do, and all of a sudden the rush came, and there's no need for chairs anyplace, everybody's working. And then when it all got done, when we made it through that couple-hour stint, he was standing back off to the side, and he was just standing there. And I went up to ask how things were going, and you know how. And he just said, "Look at this. Look at this. Look at my church. They're having so much fun. They're getting to know each other. They're laughing." He said, "They haven't had this kind of fellowship where they can just hang together and bond." He said, "Maybe ever. I don't know. But look at what's going on with my church." I believe that what took place this week, I shared on the radio when I did a hodgepodge a couple of weeks ago, and one of the announcers said to me, he said, "I don't know, you keep saying that you want to bless the community, you want to bless the community. Like, what does that really mean?" And I said, "I'm so glad you're asked. Because scripturally, what that means is to invoke God's favor on somebody so that they walk away with joy. But to invoke God's, to ask for, to call down, to present, to be a conduit for God's favor to this community. That's our goal. That was our goal. And so if that was the only thing that was accomplished, I could say, well done, church. Well done. Well done. Well done. But we also had a prayer tent set up. We had a prayer tent set up where I believe lives were changed for all eternity. Eternity was changed. Because we had at least four people give their lives to Christ, and at least four people rededicated their lives to Christ, and count on any number of people who had prayer for his physical healing or for spiritual healing and emotional, some for difficult family situations, some had faced loss in the last week, some who'd been dealing with all kinds of trauma, and we had a chance just to bless them and pray for them and see God move in their lives. You can't put a price on that. You can't put a price on that. If one person accepts Jesus, it's worth every ounce of beans that we put through that roaster, Lloyd. Every ounce of it. So I just want to say thank you so much to everybody who participated, because, again, it couldn't have happened without a complete, you know what, I don't even like the word team effort, but it's a whole family effort. It couldn't have happened without everybody doing their part. And, again, it's not just about feeding the meals. We're going to read more about that in just a little bit. It's not just about feeding 5,600 meals. That's only the start. What really happened is we planted seeds of hope and seeds of grace. This is a confusing thing for the community, a confusing thing. There were people saying, oh, there's got to be a pot someplace. They're blessed. They're taking an offering someplace. They're taking it. You got to be taking an offering. Here, take money, Pastor. Take. No, we don't want your money. Take your money. We don't want your money. People sneaking in. Where do I leave money? And it gave me the opportunity to express to them that this is the same way the grace of God is. This is a picture of the grace of God. We're giving you a hot dog. We're giving you a hamburger. He wants to give us eternal life. And guess what? You can't pay for eternal life either. You can't pay for that. You can't pay for that. God just wants us to walk in that kingdom. And so this is just a taste. All we really did this week was plant seeds, and then we had crazy things happen. We had crazy things happen. On Friday, somebody calls and says, and I can't give you the whole story, but somebody calls and says, hey, would you like some cherries? And I thought, well, that doesn't really make sense. What do you mean, do we want some cherries? Well, this happened and that happened, and this has got to be closed, and that's going to be closed, and here's the long and short of it. We got a few flats of cherries. Those are the people who helped move the cherries. A few flats of cherries. I lost count at 60 flats of cherries. I'm like, where were you on Monday, man? Where were you? 60 flats, 10 bags per flat, 600 bags of cherries at least. Maybe we had 100 flats. I don't know. Every time I said, well, how many more? Oh, we got about 20 more boxes. I'm like, all right, well, how many more? Well, we got about 20 more. Like, you got doors up there? I mean, how many more? Well, we got about 20 more. So we had cherries stacked up every place. And we were able to, we got rid of, gave away. The gals at the counter were going, would you like a few cherries with that? I'm like, I'm walking around. You want a flat? You want a box? Here, take a bag. You look like you, one's not enough, man. You need, so talk about planting seeds. If you happen to look around in the spring and we see a few cherry trees blooming, coming up, that's where that's all coming from. Strange things like that happen. Somebody actually in the middle of the week said, is there any chance you could use some chicken? I'm thinking, we're not serving chicken. Well, how about 540 pounds worth of chicken breasts that need to get taken from one cooler to another cooler, and it's all good and fresh, and could you use that? And it's like, sure, bring it on. How does that stuff happen, folks? How does that happen? We have people sitting out there, going, "What started all this? Why are we doing this? How often?" I remember the last I was here. One lady sitting there telling her friend. She said, "I was here 2 years ago when they did this." I'm like, oh no, you weren't. The last time we did this was 8 years ago. 8 years? You have to be kidding. Pastor from Nebraska looked at his kids when we got all done. He looked at his kids and he's like, you know what? We're going to do this in Nebraska. We're going to do this in Nebraska. We had a guy from the Brainerd area who was sitting there with his son, and he's like, this is crazy. We can do this in Brainerd too. I think you can. I think we can. And it's not about just giving away meals, folks. It's about planting seeds of the gospel, because this is what Jesus would do. It's what he'd do. So I just want to say again that y'all knocked it out of the park, and I just appreciate it. For those who are joining us online, thank you so much for spreading the news. Thank you for, forgive me for what I said on Facebook Live. Some of you may have seen that. I thought my camera died, and I looked right at it and said a word I shouldn't have said. But anyhow, last week we looked through the feeding of the 5,000, and we found four takeaways from that. The first thing we found was that, okay, I just said crap, in case you're wondering. It wasn't that bad, but we found four takeaways. Number one is that, but these are takeaways for us. This is for us. That ministry or serving, which is what ministry is. Ministry is just serving. In the scripture, when the Bible talks about ministry, you can switch that word out with table waiter. So serving or ministry is not always, or maybe not even very often, convenient. There's a cost for us to serve. Ministry or serving is not often, or often will, if not always, it will take us outside of our own ability. It will take us outside of our own comfort zone. And here's the other deal about serving is we don't get to choose who we serve. When God puts us in that situation where he wants us to minister or he wants us to serve, I don't get to go through the crowd and say, well, I'll pick that one and that one and that one. God brings who God brings, right? Because God's been preparing them. We sometimes wonder, well, Lord, I don't know what to say to this. You don't need to know what to say to that person. God has already prepared their hearts. He's been working for weeks or months or maybe years to get them in that position, and he brings them before us at some way, some shape, some form. And our job is to either, you know, keep digging in the soil a little bit and help break up that soil, or maybe it's to plant the seed, or maybe that time that we spend with them is just simply about watering and wait. Let God bring the harvest. That's what Scripture says. God's the one who brings the harvest. We don't have to worry about that. What we have to do is our part. God, if you brought them before me, it's my turn to just serve them. The third thing we see is that God will use whatever you have, great or little. Maybe he'll use what you don't have to accomplish his purpose. That's part of the beauty of ministry, is I don't have to have all kinds of things. God works through us. So when we're looking at, well, in the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, they did it with five loaves of bread and two fish. That's all it was. Some little boy had that, and God used that and multiplied to feed somewhere in the neighborhood. We read 5,000 men without, not including men, women and children, so 15, maybe 20,000. And the thing that we discovered this week over and over again is that ministry is not a drive-through event. I had a neighbor who came 4 out of the 5 days. Last day he was out of town. The first 3 days he came and he sat at the same table, sat at the end of the table, and he sat there for probably 2.5 hours. Now, it doesn't take that long to eat a hot dog, but what he told me at the end of it is, this is like going to a class reunion every day. I got people I haven't seen for 15 years, haven't seen them for 20 years. I got relatives I haven't seen for 10 years. They're all coming for food. So this is like a family reunion, a class reunion, all in one shot, right here. Ministry is not a drive-through event. Now, we did have people that took to-go boxes. The story of a Jeff was helping some guy who's got, you know, 9 brats and 9 bourbon deals, all this stuff. And Jeff finally asked him on the way. Well, he said, so he just wanted the brats and the burgers. That's it. And Jeff said, well, do you want some water? Oh, no, 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 no. So they start putting a box together, and they put chips in there, and they put cupcakes in there, and they put water, and they put pop, and all this. We're carrying all this stuff out. And Jeff said, you got somebody who's doing some work for you, or what is this? He said, no. He said, it's just my family, and we can't all fit in one vehicle. So I thought I'd just come down and get a few sandwiches. So I wasn't expecting all of this. That's invoking God's peace, his love, his fullness, his presence. That's. And Jeff said, "Hey, well, we just want really want to bless you." And the guy's like, "No, bless you, God. You have no idea what you've done." Ministry is not a drive-through event. That first part that we read really has to do with our hearts. The rest of John 6, John 16 through verse 70, and I'm not going to make it through all of it today, but we'll get a good jump on it, is really about the other side of this blessing. It's about the other side of this. Immediately after Jesus fed the 5,000 plus, right? We know there was more than 5,000. We're going to start in John chapter 6, verse 16. It said, "When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake. They got in the boat and they set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them." Jesus went off after all this time of feeding. If you'll recall, just before the feeding of the 5,000, I said that Jesus' cousin had been killed. The disciples had gone out two by two. John the Baptist had been killed. He was trying to do a bit of a debrief with his disciples, and all the people showed up, and so Jesus just served them. He just served them. He continued to feed them. And now Jesus went and he spent some time alone with the Father. And as the disciples are rowing across the water, verse 18, a strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough, and they had rowed about three or four miles the disciples had rowed on the water, been rowing, and they saw Jesus approaching them walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said, "It's me, it's I, do not be afraid." They were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Now I'm not going to go into all of that, that's a whole other story for another day. But this is where we see that account of Jesus walking on the water. The next day, verse 22, the next day the crowd that had stayed on the opposite side of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread, and after the Lord had given thanks, once the crowd had realized that neither Jesus or his disciples were there, they got into the boat and they went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. So this account, it kind of comes to a conclusion the same way that it started. People were seeking Jesus. Why were they seeking him? Well, he was out ministering. He had been healing people, praying for people. He had been serving people. He'd been speaking truth to them. I'm sure he was giving. We don't have a whole list of what he was doing, but I'm sure there were people accepting him. He'd been teaching. He'd been preaching. And people were following, and they were looking for him. And they didn't see him go, so they realized that something had happened, so they all jump in their boats. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus, in true form, does not answer their question. I love this about Jesus. You read 200 or 300 times in Scripture, Jesus is asked a question. He never answers it directly. There's only a couple of times that he answers it directly. "When did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you were looking for me not because of the signs and wonders that I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." This is, again, one of those times when Jesus kind of flips the script on people. They're like, "When did you get here?" And the only reason they asked when he got there is because they were looking for lunch again. We're kind of getting hungry. You might not believe me, but we'll read about it again in just a little bit. They're looking for what's going on. They're looking for what's going on. They're looking for, "How come are you going to feed us? What are you going to do?" And he's like, I didn't come here just to feed your bellies. I came here for more than that." Right? People might have come, you know, it's one of the things that happens in our life is we have such a great need in our life, and sometimes we think we can fill it with all kinds of physical stuff. We think we can fill it with food. We think we can fill it with one more car or one more four-wheeler or one more boat or one more activity. We think we can fill it with one more set of skis or one more pair of shoes or one more guitar. We think we can fill that need. And Jesus is going right after him. He's telling these guys, that's not what's going to fill you up. That's not what you need. Do I think it was wrong for us to feed people? Not at all. because I think it gives us an opportunity to meet people where they're at. But he said, you're not even looking at the signs. You're not looking at it because of the signs I've done. All you're looking for is one more meal. Actually, we read in one of the Gospels where it said, if the signs and wonders that had been done in Jerusalem had been performed in Sodom and Gomorrah, those people would have all repented. And yet Israel did not repent. Serving food is simply a way to open people up to the gospel. God is trying to show people, Jesus is trying to show people his goodness. In John 6 and verse 28, they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Well, okay, so Jesus, if you're telling me that we're not really doing what we should, we're over here, we're seeking for something, but we're just looking to get our bills, what do we have to do then? What is it that God would have us to do? And Jesus answers, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. So if you want to know what will really fill you up, it's not having another hot dog, it's not having another burger, but what's really going to fill us up, what's really going to meet our needs is a life in Christ. What's really going to meet our needs is what Jesus can do for us. And it gets really kind of confusing after this, but they have the audacity. These were people that were following Jesus. They're looking for him. He just fed 15,000 of them. The disciples are probably walking around going, dude, let me tell you what happened last night. Like, we thought we were getting away, and he was going to pray, and he was going to come in another boat. But you know what happened? We were out there, and all of a sudden, he's walking on the water. I mean, he's coming to us on the water like he's walking on the water. Then they could tell the whole story about Peter and all the things that happened. But this stuff is all floating around in these conversations that are going on. And this is the audacity that humanity has in chapter 6 and verse 30. So they asked him, who are the people? These are the people that are coming to Jesus. They're seeking him. So they just said, what do we have to do the works of God? And Jesus said, believe in the one that he sent. Believe in me. And here's what they ask him. What sign will you give us so that we may see and we may believe in you? What are you going to do next? Like, Jesus is a circus performer. Yeah. Okay, so you fed 15,000 of us and you walked on water, but what are you going to do next? Then he goes on and he says, they go on and say, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who gave them bread. See, they're attributing all that to Moses so that they can attribute the same thing to Jesus. They're saying, look, when we were in the wilderness, Moses fed everybody, and so now that we're here these days, we're expecting you to feed us. Are you going to feed us then? We've got to read what Scripture is saying here. We actually have to kind of dig in and look at this. Jesus said to them, I tell you, it's not Moses who's giving you the bread, but it's my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking at this moment in time as I'm reading this scripture, I've read it several times, but I'm thinking they're asking, well, what are you going to do to prove to us that you're really God? A little bit of lightning bolt over there. How about that? You believe now? See what happened to Billy over on the edge? You're going to question me again? That was Jesus. That was me. That was me, not Jesus. Here's the deal. Before we get too critical, the question is the same for us. It's the same thing. I just asked, how do we get, 500 pounds of chicken delivered in, and how do we get 60 flats of berries? And somebody over in this corner said, it was God. Okay? But is that enough for us to say, all right, God, I'm going to sell out wholesale to you? Or do we say, well, that happened over there. I'm not really sure if you're real to me. We have people come all the time. Sitting in church does not make you a Christian, right? I've proven this over and over. I have thousands of dollars worth of tools. I got a garage. I got more tools than you can shake a stick at, but that does not make me a mechanic. Right? Isn't that right, honey? That does not make I got all kinds of saws. That doesn't make me a carpenter, right? You can have all the tools. You can come to church every day if you want to. You could have been out there eating, serving, doing it every day. But if we don't apply the blood of Christ, if we don't apply what Jesus has done to our life, then we're really not following him. We're still not doing what the Father would have us to do. We're still not eating that bread of life. You can eat the bread of hot dogs. You can eat the bread from Pan of Gold. You can eat all that stuff we want to. But until we truly grab a hold of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, and we walk in that repentance, and we walk in that new life, then we're just kind of sitting here, folks. Right? We got to grab hold of this thing. And again, I think we need to be careful that we don't get critical. In John chapter 6, verse 34. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. They're just saying, will you just keep on feeding us? Then that's going to prove to us that you're God. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still not believe. All those the Father gives me will come, and whoever comes, I will not drive away. What? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He actually goes on, and I'm not going to read it all for the sake of time, but he actually goes on, and he talks about needing to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and that all sounds really weird. And is Jesus talking about cannibalism? No, he's not talking about cannibalism, but he's talking about take in the things that I do for you. Take it in, grab a hold of it. I can give you peace. How many of you in this room have experienced turmoil at a level that you just did not know which way to turn? You've just experienced such great chaos in your life. And no food or no drink. I mean, we've got AA and we've got Celebrate Recovery and we've got all these other things because we try to cover up all these hurts. We try to cover up all this sin. When the easiest way to cover it up sometimes is just to turn to a bottle or just to turn to another pill or to turn to something else. I get it. I've been there. I was a kid. We did all that stuff. But at some point we have to say, let's deal with this. And how do we really deal with it? Jesus said, eat me for a change. Take on my flesh. Believe in me. Believe in what I've done. Take me in. Trust in the blood of Jesus. Trust in the hope that comes. I have covered every sin. Every struggle that you have, I've paid for it. Every sin that you've ever committed, I've paid for it. My blood has washed away all that. Take that in. We have a world that's just consumed with taking and taking and taking and trying to cover and trying to fill and trying to cover up. But the reality is that only comes... I don't think, sometimes I'm just not sure that we get that. Sometimes I'm not sure. Sometimes we think that just sitting in church is enough, and I'm here to tell you right now, sitting in church is not enough. It's just not enough. It's not enough. You can sit here and you can sit and you can hear teachers, and you can hear preachers, until you grab it for yourself and apply it to your life and say, Jesus, I need you. It's not enough. You can dress really good. You can put on snazzy shoes. You can do all that stuff. That's not enough. We just read through Leviticus as a church. We read through all the rules and the regulations. If we want to try and accomplish this stuff on our own, man, there are so many rules. There's no way we can fill them all. It all points us to the need for a Savior, which was what Jesus was saying. I am, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. This is not, does nothing but point people to the fact that they need a Savior. Hopefully, during this course of the last week, we've been able to show the love of God and the grace of God and the peace of God and have a smile on our face. And that's what one guy told me. He said, I haven't seen so many happy people standing out in the sun flipping burgers my whole life. That old grill, man, there's flames everywhere. That guy's got to be sweating. He's ready to pass out. How can he be so happy? He's got that joy, 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 joy down in his heart. Where? Down in his heart. Where? Down in his heart. Right? We've got the peace that passes understanding. You have that available to you in Jesus Christ. We have that available through the shed blood of Jesus. I asked how many people have faced situations that you just didn't know which way to turn. How many of you have also faced those situations and found a place where there was such joy and such peace that it just overwhelmed that chaos? That peace and that joy comes from one place alone, and it's Jesus Christ. Mike Warnke, the old Christian comedian, used to talk about his drinking days, and he said, I remember a time when we had nothing left. The apartment was empty. There's no food in the refrigerator. So he said, I got my paycheck and thought, you know what? There's no way I can get caught up on my bills. And so he said, I just went out and I got drunk. He said, when I got done getting drunk, I got high. When I got done getting high, I got drunk again. He said, I stayed drunk or stayed high for a week and a half. And he said, when it was all said and done, not only did I not have any food in the house, but then I didn't even have a refrigerator. Decided to sell his refrigerator to stay high just a little bit longer. If we try to hide and try to run from all the chaos in life, what happens is we just get deeper and deeper and deeper in the hole. Our answer doesn't come from running and hiding. Our answer doesn't come from stuffing our face. That's what Jesus was telling these people. Don't just keep filling your face. It's not your belly. That's not where you need it. What you need is a change in your heart. What you need is something inside of your heart. What you need to do is lean on, trust in, cling to Jesus Christ, cling to him. So Jesus is teaching these people, this is where we need to be. At the end of it all, they're still grumbling. So this is, again, this is humanity. We get this all the time. Pastor, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? How do I change my life? All right, let me tell you how to change your life. Turn to Jesus. I don't want to do that. All right, stay in your sin. I don't want to do that. I want life to get better. Jesus faces that. He faces that. We see here in John chapter 6, Jesus kind of, I don't know how to say this other than I'll let Scripture say it, he kind of gets fed up. In John chapter 6 and verse 43, he's been telling them, this is what you need to do. Follow after me. Trust me. Eat, participate. Partake in what I have to give you. And they're still grumbling. Oh, you're not anybody special. You're just Mary and Joseph's boy. Verse 43, Jesus said, stop grumbling. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And I will raise them up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and has learned from him comes to me. What Jesus is saying is, come to me, come to me, come to me. Food's not going to fill you up. This is great. I'm so glad we did this. I'm so glad we did this. When you talk to people in the community, when you hear from people in the community, but man, that church just did such a great thing. Understand that that's not enough to get them to heaven. What they really need is Christ in them. That's the hope of glory. That's where we need to continue to be. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward, our servers to come forward. This morning we're going to serve communion. We take communion. We try to take communion once a month. Today we're going to serve communion. Jesus said that he is the living bread. Come on up and just start passing out. We'll pass out the bread first. If you want to go back and you want to continue reading in John chapter 6, you're going to find that there comes a time when Jesus stands up and says, this is what it's all about. And when he does that, then some of the disciples decide that they're going to leave. It's a hard thing, they said. It's a hard way to believe. This is a hard teaching. And so they choose, rather than following him, they choose to leave. I want to read to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Talking about the Lord's Supper, this is the Apostle Paul. Now, by the way, as this is going by you, I want you to understand that we practice open communion here. So what that means quite simply is you don't have to be a member of the church here in order to take communion. We believe that when communion was given in throughout the New Testament, that the practice was open for anybody who believes. The real requirement is that you believe in Jesus Christ. That's the requirement to take communion. And if you don't believe, I would recommend that you just let it pass, because it's not just a snack either. So here's what the Apostle Paul said. For what I received from the Lord, and I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He took a simple loaf of bread, a simple piece of bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And he spoke of the bread like his own flesh. He said, this is what's been broken for you. The blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus was broken for us. The Bible says that he took our punishment in his flesh. For our sin, he took the beating. For our rejection, he took the abuse. He was whipped. He was bruised so badly. So badly. We talk about this during Good Friday. That the punishment that he took literally ripped the flesh from the bone. That's how bad our sin is before God. That's what you and I deserve. We deserve that punishment. Each one of us deserves that punishment. Now, Jesus said, what I want you to do is, I want you to remember me. So here we're talking about feeding the 5,000, but we understand the greater need is that we need Christ in our lives. We need Christ in our hearts. And that as Jesus talks about eating him, what he's talking about is invoking, bringing his presence, bringing his goodness, his belief, bringing God into every aspect of his life. Folks, that requires repentance. It requires turning away from those things, the sins that we live in our lives, the sins that we walk out every day. And Jesus took this bread and he blessed it. And he said, every time you eat this, I want you to do it in remembrance of what I've done for you. It's not just a snack. 1 minute. We'll get to the end. It's 1 minute. Therefore, he said, whoever eats this bread, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And the guys are going to pass the cups out very soon here. He took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We talked about a lot of blood covenants just a couple of weeks ago and how it's blood that pays the way for sin. Blood covers a sin. Blood covers a sin. But in the Old Testament, that blood was always temporary because it was the blood of a bull, it was the blood of a goat, it was the blood of an animal. And here the blood represents the shedding of blood that was done by Jesus Christ, which wipes away the sins for all mankind. After that blood, there's no other need for any other sacrifice, no other need for any other sacrifice ever again. It is the blood of Jesus. That's what the juice that we take represents, as it represents the blood of Jesus. Amen? As soon as we get that, we will take together. You have something you want to share quickly? Man alive, let's come on up and do that right now. I want you to be able to take communion. I would recommend if you haven't done that, that you do that today. You just accept. You might not believe this, but eternity has just been changed. All of heaven has just been changed. Hang on 1 second. Hallelujah. In case you're wondering, this isn't how we always do communion, but this is a great way to do communion. Let's pray this morning. If you are here and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're watching online and you've never received Jesus, it's this simple. The Bible says we need to repent of our sins and we need to believe what he has done. Repenting of your sins is simply saying, I've been walking this way my whole life, God, and I'm really sick of walking this way. I'm sorry. I've blown it. I'm going to turn away from that and I'm going to come to you. And that's what these two souls have just done, is they've just said, I'm going to turn and I'm going to go towards God. That doesn't mean they're going to get it perfect right away, But it means that's what's in their heart, and that's the direction that they want to go. And God hears that prayer, and he understands that prayer, and I believe he honors that prayer. So, Father, I just thank you for each person here in this room, each person who's watching online. Father, any one of us in this room who've never asked you into our heart but choose to do that today, it's very simple. We simply ask, and you will receive. As a matter of fact, the Word says that you're already standing at the door and you're knocking. Your Word says, if anyone will open the door, I will come in and I will dine with them. So if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, it's this simple. Why don't we just all pray this together? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and for your life and for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that Jesus paid the price in his flesh, in his body, that paid for my sin. We thank you, God, that you provided his blood to cover all my sins for all eternity. In Jesus' name, let's eat the bread together. We thank you, Father, for the bread. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers our sin. Each person who's received you today, the prayer is simple, and walking it out will take the rest of our lives. But we can do it, and you'll give us the strength to do it. Let's drink the juice together. Somebody say hallelujah. God bless you. Have yourselves a great day, and know that God loves you and he cares about you, and eternity's been changed. By the way. Sorry, people point at me. We didn't sell all the rest of it. We got some extra burger in the back there. And there, Shelly is over at the information booth. There's some burger for sale, some chips for sale, and some pop for sale, and some ketchup for sale. But there's no beans. So if you want to buy some leftover produce, please go ahead and see Shelly at the information booth. God bless you. Have a great day.